I'm excited. You know, excited. I mean, first off, excited just to be back and play and, you know, play defense finally. So we'll see how it goes and just looking forward to it.
What are you going to be looking for with your arm in terms of how it's feeling out there?
In what sense? What do you mean?
Like in terms of if it's doing all right or if it, is it just a pain thing? Or
yeah, I mean, it's doing all right now. I mean, obviously, that's why I'm back out there. But just play ear, you know, play by ear. I mean, obviously, you know, we got to build up to you know, playing the games. I think as much as we can throw, as much as I could throw across the diamond pregame, I don't think, you know, there's nothing that can simulate a game. You know, so, you know, I think that's just going to be the next hurdle we're going to jump. But just getting back out there is going to be exciting. And, you know, we'll see how I feel tomorrow. I'll see how I recover tomorrow. And then, you know, I think that'll give us a good indication of where I'm at.
I, for one, am extremely excited to see Manny back at third. It was nice to have him in the lineup while he recovered, too. But now you get him back at third base. And you know, it does present some new questions, no doubt about it. You're gonna need you've had the everyday DH satisfied up until this point. Something I can't recall the Padres have really truly ever had. That's probably the most stability they've had at that spot in quite some time. But now, you know, that kind of will, for at least the time being, go into flux. I mean, there's options that will obviously be used there. I think it's still an open question on how those will actually work out.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm 100% agreeing with you, Tony. As I've said in the past, just going to the ball game, I miss looking down there at third base and waiting for a ground ball to be hit anywhere in that neighborhood so they can watch Manny Machado do his thing. So that's, you know, just in and itself is one of my favorite things about watching Padre baseball is watching Manny at third. But you're right, the DH thing is kind of now open, and I'd be honest with you, I'm a little surprised Graham Pauly's getting the call, the first call tonight. I know there's a right-hander on the mound in Aaron Nola, but I might go with Tyler Wade, not just because he's our Fryer Friday guest coming up in about a half an hour, but you know, I think Tyler Wade's been a little more successful so far this year than Graham Pauly. Now, maybe they want to keep Wade in reserve in case, you know, Manny tweaks something or just, you know, doesn't feel 100% right, then they could maybe move Wade, you know, into the game. But Graham Pauly, you know, he's getting his chance, but I don't know how much longer his chance is going to last, Tony. He's going to have to start, you know, producing here, you know, in short order, because I think there's other guys, you know, either Wade or Eggy Rosario, who can fill that DH role for now.
Anyway. I mean, it's certainly something to keep an eye on. I think Pauly's got more pop, so that's probably why he's being used in the DH spot there. You certainly can now bring Tyler in for defensive purposes.
Gives you a little more maneuverability.
Give you some more maneuverability, as you said. So, but it's going to be an open question for the time being. Jackson Merrill also out of the lineup here tonight.
And yeah, second game in a row.
So, you know, he's got the growing issue.
They're being careful with him.
Yeah.
Hopefully no DL or IL stint involved.
And this goes to show you how locked in he is. I knew he was out of the lineup because I didn't put his name in the lineup as I wrote it down, but just by instinct, I did draw his name in the defensive side.
Oh, you did. You had him in center field. You're going to have to.
As I said, that it dawned on me, I was like, I think I actually wrote Merrill on the defensive side.
Yes, so he's not there. Azokar's in center field. Yeah, you know, these little injuries concern me, but, you know, you hope it's just a day-to-day thing. A groin strain can be, you know, if you trigger it a little bit more, then you are looking at 2 weeks. So that's what the Padres are trying to avoid that right now. But Graham Merrill's out. I mean, you look at, you know, Darvish is another one, you know, and I don't know if we've had an update on him or we'll get one from Mike Shildt, but he's coming up on, I mean, look, now it's two times through the rotation that he hasn't pitched. Maybe it's a sign that they send Randy Vasquez back down today, that they're hoping Darvish will be ready the next time it's his turn, but they haven't made that kind of announcement yet. So,
that's a good question. I don't know as of this point. They have Estrada up in, you know, kind of fill in another bullpen spot.
Yeah.
If my math serves me correct, I feel like Darvish has one more time through the rotation. If it's the 15 and it was on the day, it wasn't right. retroactive. So yeah.
His turn doesn't come up for until, I guess it would be Tuesday against the Reds, second game of that series, because it was his turn yesterday. So, but you know, it's interesting. I mean, this is what we talk about before the season, and I think people tune us out. But what we say many times is that it takes about 40 guys to get through a season, you know, successfully, and everybody looks at the starting nine and thinks that's your team, and it's just not. Because there's too many little things like this that crop up throughout a year. And, you know, you've got to have somebody there to pick up the slack. And so that's, you know, this is pretty normal, really, for a season.
No, that's spot on. You're going to need 40. Sometimes you're going to need more than 40. You're going to need more than just those guys on one of those rough seasons where you got a lot of injuries. Padres, for the most part, leading up into this point, have been able to avoid anything major, but you know, it's early. There's a lot of season for a lot of different things to happen. You certainly hope that it's limited in a lot of ways, but it definitely, you know, that's part of the attrition of playing a 162 game season. Is you're gonna have nicks, you're gonna have major issues in some cases, and you're gonna have to have ones that aren't necessarily may are somewhere in the middle, and that's kind of how the season goes.
Is it? Am I right about this? That Bryce Harper? I know he's back in the lineup. The Phillies just sent their lineup out. Harper's in at first base tonight. Did he not miss the last three, four games?
They both missed it.
Same
time, right?
Yeah.
And their numbers, their career. Actually, someone sent me a tweet with their career numbers lined up against their paternity leaves, and everything basically is identical between
those
two guys.
I can see
like,
that.
Like career numbers, babies, all that stuff.
Well, Bryce Harper has, I think, more than one child. Manny has one.
Yes, he does.
Bryce Harper, I think, has three.
Well, I'm just throwing that number out. They went on paternity list at the same time this time.
Yes, I get that. That's why I brought that up.
Okay,
that they went on the paternity list and they're coming back at the same time.
I'm going to move on from this. Mike Schill actually said that Jackson Merrill has a little ouchie. I'm serious.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, a little ouchie.
Okay.
Did he update the ouchie today?
Why are you bringing that up?
He did with Bennett Woods, but I was pointing it out because I think it's funny that a manager of a baseball team is saying that Jackson Merrill has an ouchie. I think it's hilarious. It kind of shows me what kind of guy Mike Schilt is.
What does it show you?
It shows me that he doesn't take himself too serious. He's allowed to have a little. He's allowing people to have a little bit of fun. And then he can be serious when he needs to be serious.
Yeah,
you better
ask him a decent question because, you know, if you throw something at him that doesn't have a lot of merit, let's go back to that yesterday for a second because you commented on it, you know, earlier, Tony. And I'm not, you know, Dennis Lynn's one of our guys.
That's definitely my guy.
Yeah, and I don't think Dennis Lynn, you know, was trying to create a stir. But he said, you know, it was pretty clear that Wandy didn't have his best stuff.
I have it.
All right, I'll hear it in a second. Okay. But I just was like, he said that, and Mike Schilt kind of called him out and said, well, how do you know that? Like, you know, and I think it was fair of Mike Schilt to question it.
It did seem like, for as good as Wandy has been of late, he just didn't really have it from the start today. Why was he left in for five batters? Did you consider getting him out of there earlier?
It was obvious to you.
I said, seemed like you didn't really have it, you know, early today.
Okay. Wandy has about a 60% ground ball rate. Okay. The second a guy gives up a home run.
We've already heard the
answer. Yeah, we touched on that. I think Dennis's thing was, look, he gives up a towering three-run home run to Hunter Goodman, who's a rookie just up from AAA. But as we said, I don't even need Mike Schilt to say this, you can't take him out of the game after that home run. The rules do not allow it. He had to face at least three guys. Now, those next two guys did get on as well. So maybe that's what Dennis was referring to. But Mike Schilt is going to make you, you know, stand behind what you're asking him. And I appreciate all coaches and managers who do that. I have been called out for questions in the past. And I think it's good. It makes me think my questions through before you just kind of lallygag something out there.
I think that, you know, he gave up the 3-run shot, right? And then the next two guys reached. The knee-jerk reaction is to get him out of there. But, you know, you got to think beyond that. You got to try to have him get as far as he can get without too much damage, right? He got the punch out, which I think got him within one out of getting out of the inning. He came out. Kolek surrendered to single. And then they would eventually get the next out they needed to get out of that inning. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, if you just took guys out after three batters because you're not going to give them a chance to figure it out, you'd be putting your bullpen in a lot of bad spots.
A lot of bad spots. It didn't work yesterday. It was a tough loss. It was a bad loss. It was an ugly loss, if you want to use that. But, you know, tonight's another one, and, you know, hopefully you can get 2 out of 3 of Philadelphia and you put this Rocky thing behind you. By the way, the Rockies are on their way to
Mexico City.
Mexico City. Oh, they're doing your trip right now.
I get it.
Tony, they play there tomorrow and Sunday against the Astros. So they're getting that treatment this year.
Oh,
so.
Wait, Mexico City has to see the Rockies. At least
they got the Astros? They got the front end,
though. The worst teams right now?
Well, we caught it on the back end. Like, we went Arizona, Chicago, Mexico City. They start off going Mexico City, and then they go
to Miami after that. Ooh, yeah.
That's a long trip. Yeah. Mexico City to Miami.
Yeah, good for the Rockies. I did see the series promoted somewhere in an advertisement, and somebody tweeted it out, and it said, come, you know, to Mexico, or, you know, if you're in Mexico, come see baseball greats like Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and a couple of those. And then they said, and on the Rockies side, the likes of, and they actually included Austin Gomber as Colorado Rockies. I'm like, Austin Gomber?
What about Ezekiel Tovar?
Jeez, yeah, I mean, come on, Ezekiel's a nice young player. You can build on that, but how Austin Gomber got into the got a mention, it seems a little odd, but
I'm excited to see what happens in these games. Like, if it goes to the crazy game we saw last year on that Saturday,
it's going to go to the crazy
game. It was like 16-14 or something like that. It was something insane.
Unless they decided hide these balls in the humidor and turn them into dust. This is going to turn into the exact same thing.
Don't talk to Pete Fairbanks about that.
Well, Rockies and Astros will play tomorrow in Mexico City and Sunday. So that's what they got coming up.
All right, let's get to break. When we return, I have to step away to go listen to Mr. Schilt talk and, you know, maybe have a question or two.
I think
for
you should ask him if, you know, why he left Wandy Peralta in the wake of the fact that he didn't look like he had good stuff, Tony.
Here's the question. After you've had a night to sleep on it, do you still think it was the right decision?
Oh, man.
You know, I'm going to pass on that one, buddy.
We'll see if anybody has the stones to try that question. We'll find out.
Indeed. All right, let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
This is Matt Scraby's finest right here. Hold on. I'm just going to talk to everybody. Here's some traffic. Oh, Tony is laughing so hard.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, welcome back to the program. 3:19 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park. Tony's headed down to visit the pregame, get the info from Mike Schilt. Tony will be back for our interview with Tyler Wade. Our Friar Friday interview, which you will hear in about 15 minutes, so stick around for that. Right here on Gwynn and Chris, Matt Scraby, alongside in the Odyssey Palace Studios. We're going to get into today's Daily Gambit shortly. Thought it was interesting. You might be interested to know the current odds for National League Most Valuable Player. Right now, here are the top five. Matt Olson is fifth on the MVP list in the National League, plus 1,500. Fernando is fourth, if you bet it right now, for National League MVP. Scrape, you want to try to pick the top three in the National League as it stands? Matt Olson's five, Fernando four. Who would you have Mookie? Three? Mookie is actually the favorite.
Okay.
Right now, I mean, he, after all, he's leading in every category.
Yes.
Who are the other two, second and third, for wow. NL MVP?
Let's see.
If you had to lay a wager right now,
I'm trying to think, and
they're two pretty well known players. You might imagine.
Shohei.
Shohei is second.
Is Freddie Freeman?
No, Ronald Acuna is third.
You know,
he's off to a slow start, yeah, but it's still Ronald Acuna Jr. He's a good player. He was a great player.
I know. He won me a fantasy championship.
Oh, boy. Had to remind me. All right. Give me the American League.
Good. Juan
Top
Soto.
Five.
Juan Soto?
Number one.
Okay. That makes sense. Makes sense.
He's currently favored to win the American League MVP award.
What about... I'm not doing very good at this. I thought I would do a lot better.
Yeah. The American League's a little tougher, I think. I'll give it to you. Bobby Witt Jr.
Duh! He's on my team, man!
We don't care. He's number two. Gunnar Henderson is number three.
He's on your team, man!
They don't care. Mike Trout and Yordan Alvarez are the top five.
You know, I will give Mike Trout credit. He's having a great year. He's got like 10 home runs and 13
RBIs. He's only got 11 RBIs.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily his fault. Somebody's got to get on base. But yeah, Trout does have the 10 home runs. I bring this up for a couple reasons. One, Juan Soto, and I think the notion that he's easily the best former Padre that's out there right now. Don't sleep on Seth Lugo, though.
Oh, he's having a great year.
Who pitched another gem today. Seven innings, no runs, struck out nine. Seth Lugo is currently 4-0 with a 1.66. That would look pretty good on the Padres staff right about now.
It really would.
All right, let's get to the rest of today's daily. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We made some bets on Wednesday, and so we have to review those real quick, and then we'll get into some of the bets for the weekend. Chris, you're going to help me out with the results on the Joe Ryan strikeout one.
Go for it.
It was over under 7.5.
He got eight. Joe Ryan went over.
I win.
So you got that one correct.
Padres minus 1.5 over the Rockies. We did not get that correct because the Rockies won that game.
No, they didn't.
Oh, it was five. I get confused with the Tuesday and Wednesday game. Wednesday, they won.
Yeah, so Padres won 5-2. We won that bet.
The Celtics did not cover because the Heat actually won this game. Right? The Celtics were minus 14.5, and the Heat won the game.
We both took the Heat.
We
won
right
comfortably.
There.
I saw where Shaquille O'Neal before the game said, Heat win by 10. And Charles Barkley said, you're an idiot. Final score, Heat win by 10.
Wow.
Shaq was right on it.
Shaq. I love it when they get into it because it's hilarious.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's so good.
Yeah.
The next bet we made was the New Orleans Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder, or the total score was over under 211.5 points. It was 124.92.
So that's 216.
Okay, thank you.
So it went over.
It went over, so I win that one. Mm-hmm. And then the Kings at the Edmonton Oilers, it was a total of over under 6 goals. And
they got
Oilers,
nine.
They got 9, yes, LA.
5-4, Kings won in overtime. So you went 4-1, I went 3-2. We're both actually having a winning week so far, which is nice. You're 11-7, I'm 10-8.
It's better than last week.
Yeah, we both were under 500 last week. You ready for tonight's picks?
Yes.
Before we get to those, Game 3 in the East, an early start, really a weird start time. They're already in the second quarter. Indiana leads Milwaukee 41-30. The Bucks again are playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Series is tied at 1. Speaking of series tied at 1, Dallas, home to the Clippers tonight. Dallas now a 4.5-point favorite over Los Angeles, with the scene shifting to Texas. Scraby, what are you thinking here? Clippers,
well, Luka,
the clip joint.
Luka annoys you.
He does.
I'm going to say they win at home.
You're taking Dallas?
At least by 5, yeah.
Minus the 4.5. Yeah. Well, Luka annoys me so much that I'm going to root for him to lose tonight.
You go Clippers.
Karma gets him for screaming obscenities at the Clipper crowd the other night. I know, again, I'm going to sound like I'm too old for my own good, but how is that not a, you know, technical foul? I mean, you behave yourself out there. Are you running around the arena just screaming MF to everyone in the building?
I would say that anything you can't say on the radio, if you're screaming it to the fans.
I don't know. I guess I'm just, you know, again, like I said, it's a whole new age now. But I that one, I get a lot of the new stuff. I do. I'm, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 5 when it comes to being hip. But I don't understand the Luka Doncic, you know, screaming, you know, obscenities at the crowd and that being acceptable.
I'm with you. Obscenities, I don't like. I'm okay with him going around saying, "I am the greatest."
Sure,
that's fine.
That's not what he was saying.
No, and I know that seems like a lame take, but I just don't think that you need to scream at the crowd and throw obscenities at them.
It's not my favorite. It's not a good look for a really good player who honestly doesn't. And beyond the other thing that annoys me is that he never stops whining about the officiating. And I mean never stops whining. Even if the call is on one of his teammates across the floor, he comes over and gets in on it with a little yelling.
Well, he needs to feel involved.
No, he's annoying. Phoenix 5 over Minnesota tonight. In Phoenix, Minnesota won the first two games. Phoenix has to bounce back tonight. I can't believe Durant's going to go down 0-3. I'll take Phoenix here. You?
I'm going with the Timberwolves.
Gonna go with the T-Wolves.
I just do not believe in the Suns.
Well, you know, they added Bradley Beal to Booker and Durant.
And it didn't work.
Not yet. It's not working. Speaking of Booker, who scores more tonight, him or your buddy Anthony Edwards? They both have the same 25.5 point odds number. So who do you like here? This is games in Phoenix, remember.
Yes.
Who scores more?
I think if I'm going to pick the T-Wolves to win, I got to go Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. You like him.
I do.
We discussed that the other day. I'll say Booker at home. Booker's a home-time guy. He could get one of his 40-50 games tonight. All right. In the NHL, the scene shifts to Crypto.com Arena tonight, Scraby.
All right.
As a matter of fact, if we leave the show right now, we can still make the opening face-off.
What time is it?
I think 7:30. So,
ooh, I don't know. 4 hours?
It'd be close. 4 hours. Kings home to Edmonton. Series tied at 1. Edmonton on the road, favored by 1.5 goals. I'm going to take the Kings, who won in overtime the other night.
I will take the Kings as well.
Take the Kings at home. Come on, Kings. All right, on to baseball. Phillies, Padres. You got Nola and Musgrove, two big-time pitchers. 7.5 runs is your over-under tonight, Scrib. What do you like there?
What was the game? I know it's not the NLCS, but what was their final score of that day game?
That was a wide open game, if I recall, in the playoffs a couple years ago.
Yes, it actually was a higher scoring game.
It was. Aaron Nola gave up a hit to Austin Nola, among others.
Right. I did do a podcast, and I forgot.
Right.
It's called 12 Games in October, if you wanted to listen to
that
it. Just
podcast.
Download it on
the
Odyssey app.
Over under 7.5 runs.
Under.
I think if there was ever a pitcher's duel.
Tonight
is the night. Musgrove. Harper last Sunday against the Cubs. Still has not been sharpest.
I mean, that was a gutty performance going 7 innings, giving up only 2 runs when obviously he started the game with not his best stuff. That was a pretty good performance, I think.
Obviously didn't have his best stuff. You got to be careful saying that now.
Well, I mean, he gave up.
Because how do you know? He gave up a home run. Does that mean you don't have your best stuff?
Oh, my gosh.
Wandy Peralta gave up a home run, so he apparently did not have his best stuff.
I'm already in the doghouse of Joe, so
I can't. Just don't tell that to Mike Schilt. All right, the other one last wager, Nola or Musgrove. Who's going to get the most strikeouts tonight? Between, is it going to be Nola or Musgrove? I really want to go No Joe, but I'm not. I'm going to go No Nola.
No Nola.
Nola.
Has he ever thrown a no-hitter?
I don't think so.
That would be good for him if he did, because then he can market himself as No Nola.
Yeah, Musgrove already is No.
See, he's 3-1, 3.16, 26 strikeouts. He goes 7-9-3-4-3. I'm going to go with Joe.
Joe Musgrove.
Yep.
All right, we'll have the game right here on 97.3 The Fan. Padres and Phillies, 6:30 tonight. Pre-game show at 5:30 or just shortly thereafter.
5:40.
Right, with Sammy Leavitt. And quick programming note, for those of you that are into some entertainment after the game tonight, Matt Scraby will have tonight's post-game show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So that, to me, is must-listen radio.
You know?
If you're going to the Padre game tonight, make sure you hustle out, get into your car on the way home, and get it right to 97.3 The Fan so Matt Scraby can regale you with tales of his post-game brilliance.
You know, it's gonna bring me back to my post-game days. When I was like 10-45 on the post-game
trivia,
show.
Who was on the Padre post-game show the night that Joe Musgrove pitched his no-hitter?
You.
It was me.
Of course it was.
Yeah. So maybe it'll be you tonight if he gets maybe.
If that happens, that's going to be
incredible.
Wouldn't
that be nice?
That would be.
All right. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Friar Friday and our interview with the very, very dependable and, solid Tyler Wade. We'll meet him. He's from Murrieta, you know. Nearby San Diego. Talk about that and other things in our Friar Friday interview next on 97.3 The Fan. Chicago White Sox are off to the second worst start of any team in the history of baseball. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., at Petco Park, and Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. White Sox are 3-22. Only the 1988 Baltimore Orioles.
Baltimore
was worse. They were 2-23 that year. Ooh. After losing their first 21 games of the season.
Hey, they had a little
hot streak there. Yeah. The White Sox have not had anything close to a hot streak, but that's about to change, Scrabe.
Why?
Because the White Sox today called up outfielder Tommy Pham from AAA Charlotte. He will join the Pale Hose. He played in, 5 or 6 games down there in the minor leagues to get himself ready. He's 36 years old. I think you brought up a good point off the air, or somebody did around here.
Oh, you can say it was me.
Okay, it was you. Tommy Pham is probably, if he does anything at all for the White Sox, will most likely be targeted by somebody at the trade deadline because they're going to remember what he did last year to help the Diamondbacks get to the World Series, and they're going to want him on their team.
Now, Brandon on the chat.
I wonder if the Padres would ever.
But Brandon on the chat said that apparently the taxes in California may have been an issue. Are there any accountants out there? If Tommy Pham gets traded from the Chicago White Sox to a California team, does he then have to pay California taxes?
I don't know. Just pay your taxes. We already went over this with Mark Cuban the other day.
We did.
You're making so much money. you know, just put some of it aside and pay your taxes.
Easier said.
We all have to do it.
Even Mark Cuban paid a $275 million
tax
bill.
I mean, no matter what your situation is, it can't be that crazy. One last thing before we get to our interview. Remember we gave you the odds a little bit ago on MVP?
Oh, yes.
I looked this up. What do you think the odds are for National League Rookie of the Year? To this point in the season, who do you think is the odds-on favorite right now?
Well, even though he just got called or he got put back down to AAA, Jackson Holliday has to be the guy who's... No, I'm just kidding. He's not leading it, but everybody would want
this
him
is
to
National
lead
League
it.
Rookie of the Year anyway, so he's certainly not in the running for that.
It has to be Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, it's
is
not.
Is it Churio?
Jackson Merrill's the third choice right now.
Who's... Is it Jungle Lee?
There are two Cubs that are ahead of Jackson Merrill.
Imanaga?
Imanaga and Michael Bush.
Ah.
Remember, Bush had a streak of six games in a row with a home run.
That is true.
So, anyway, Merrill, not in the Padre lineup again tonight, by the way. Still out with that owie.
Ouchie.
Or ouchie, as Mike Schilt called it. Groin ouchie.
Groin
for Jackson Merrill, not playing tonight. But Manny Machado is not only back in the Padre lineup after the paternity leave, but he's at third base tonight for the first time this season, if you're just tuned in.
Nice.
You are now up to date. Listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. That'll get you all you need to know about everything going on with the Padres. Find it at 97.3thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I should also remind you that coming up in the next hour and a half or so, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to Monday's Padres game against the Cincinnati Reds. Now, the first 40,000 fans Monday night are going to receive a Padres knit beanie with the removable palm.
Mm-hmm.
Man, have they promoted that?
They really have.
Like, endlessly.
I've seen a lot about
I've seen Don Orsillo and Mark Grant pull the palm off the hat.
Like 400 times.
At least. Go to Padres.com/tickets for your tickets to Monday night's game, or stick around here on Gwen and Chris. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair of Padres Reds tickets. Right now, though, we're going to give you a chance to get to know Tyler Wade, our Fire Friday interview, right after we check traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Fire Friday interview. Today, we focus on local kid done well, Tyler Wade, Murrieta, California, now third baseman, San Diego Padres. Tyler, how you doing today? How are things?
I'm doing great. Good to be back in San Diego.
Yeah, kind of a tough loss to bring home with you guys. Are you able to feel like the day after you've been able to get it out of the system and hopefully focus on the fills?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think we have a reflective period after that game in the clubhouse. We learned from it, and then, you know, we got to move on to the Phillies, which is another good ball club. But a lot of positives from that series. We played really clean baseball, and the boys know that, and we're fired up to get ready today.
Tyler, you've been part of, I think, a very, very productive bottom part of the lineup. I would argue one of the best in baseball to this point. At this point, are you guys taking pride in at the bottom of that lineup of kind of, in some ways, being the booster pack for this offense at times?
Yeah, man. I think everywhere in the lineup we take pride in just not giving away at bats. But I think also me, Campy, and Merrill, we fed off each other, man. And I think we both, or all three of us, have a lot of energy. And we have good communication between pitches, letting know what we need to see from guys. And it shows, man. And I think we play unselfish baseball 1-9, and we play the game the right way, and we just try to get on base for the big boys to do their thing.
Tyler, I know you don't. I know you don't have a lot of time to think about this, but have you taken a moment to reflect at all on how things have worked out for you so far this year? I mean, you look at your career, started as a 22-year-old with the Yankees, and you know, ended up going to the Angels in Oakland, but this seems like it's working into your best opportunity to play on a consistent basis. And I imagine that's what every pro ball player wants, is an opportunity to be a part of something all the time.
Yeah, man. I think first and foremost, right, God's got his plan. And I think I learned a lot in New York, because not even playing every day. Just like I think just taking it all in from the veterans I've been around, the great Hall of Fame baseball players I was around, just to learn from them and see how to go about your business, how to treat people, how to get a good routine in, and just play winning baseball. And I've kind of taken that with me in different places that I've gone. But to answer your question, yes, I do think this does feel like home to me. I think from day one, Schiltze and the staff and the organization and the clubhouse, they brought me in. Like, I've been here for multiple years. So that's been a big contributor to the early success so far. But yeah, everyone wants to play every day, especially in this league. I think the more you play, the more you get comfortable with the pitching. And even when you're playing every day, pitching's hard. So it's tougher when you're not playing every day. But this has definitely been the best opportunity so far. And I'm just trying to do everything I can to help us win ball games.
Tyler Wade with us here on Gwen and Chris. And Ty, talk a little bit about having to really embrace this type of role. Because, as you said, I think all of us come in with a certain idea of how we want our career to go, and you have to be able to pivot, and it seems like you've been able to do it. Just talk about that process and getting to this point where you are right now in your career.
Yeah, no doubt. You kind of just said, I think everybody in this game, right, when you're from a young age, you want to be the Fernando Tatises, the Aaron Judges, the Manny Machados in this game. But in reality, there's very small percentage are going to be those people, right? And so, you know, when I got to New York, Darty, Judgy, all those guys kind of brought me under the wing. And I think I have the ability to play every day, but also I think I have the unique ability to be the special utility player that can give guys days off. And so they kind of just like, hey, like, embrace that role, man, be a superstar in that role. And I think that just goes unnoticed a lot. And I think there's a lot of guys throughout the league that have that same mentality. But just being able to, I think it's, I don't want to call it an ego thing, but I think it's just, you got to know your role, man. I think the more you can embrace, like, hey, all 26 guys matter, and whatever you do that day, it's going to affect the team. So just, you can impact the game in many different ways, even if you're not playing, man. So I just try to embrace that. And whether I'm pinch hitting in the seventh, going to play defense, or going to get a big bag in the eighth or ninth inning, I think all those little things you got to take pride in, man, because at the end of the day, like, those are going to track up as wins and get you into the playoffs or miss the playoffs. So just taking pride in the little things, man, is something that I've learned.
Tyler Wade is with us, Padres third baseman right now, but I have a feeling probably a little bit more of second base and left field, and as you said, DHing and wherever it needs to go. You're right now you're at third base, but there's a guy on the team who's pretty good third baseman.
Yeah.
Have you learned anything working with Manny Machado on a daily basis? You talked about getting to play with great players in New York. It's got to be kind of fun taking ground balls with Manny.
Oh, Manny's unbelievable, man. He gives me points here and there, man. But I kind of just like watching him too. I think he's a big like lead by example guy, and I think just being able to watch how he goes about his business, and I'll ask him questions about how he reads certain hops or certain situations like that. And he's helped me out a lot just getting comfortable over there. But yeah, it's been a blessing to be able to work with Manny, and there's a reason why he's got a few platinum gloves under his belt. So it's been great, and I think he's back in there tonight. But yeah. Now I'm ready to kind of do my thing and bounce all over and play all nine positions. They're not all nine. I'm not going to catch, but, you know, anywhere else.
I got to ask you, because you mentioned Jackson Mira earlier in our conversation here. And one of the things you and I talked about kind of off to the side is how impressed you were with his kind of curiousness, right? He's consistently asking questions. And just talk a little bit about how that can be helpful for any player, but especially a young player.
Yeah, man, Jackson's well mature above his age, man. He's got you would think he's been in the league for a few years. He's very, very confident. Knows what type of player he is. Knows what he needs to get ready. But just like the questions he'll ask, I don't want to say they're very like boring questions, but like they're very like very insightful questions. Like, hey, what do you got on this guy's fastball? Hey, like in this count, what's he gonna do? Or like, he, even if a guy's throwing more breaking balls, he's like, hey, he's throwing this little bit more today. But yeah, man, he's a gamer. He's a student of the game. I've been really impressed with him. He's a joy to be around, man. The energy that he brings every single day, and he's on his way to be a superstar, man. But yeah, Jackson, dude, he's. I think from day one in spring training, I noticed that. Obviously, being new, I kind of just wanted to sit back and observe. But he's one of the dudes where I was impressed by just the way he handled his businessman and went about it. And just like I said, like asking questions and just listening, too, and just being a sponge and learning from all these great players that we got.
Well, Tyler Wood, you've been very impressive, and I think the fans have really gotten to appreciate your contributions to this team so far this season. I want to ask, growing up in Murrieta, you're a piece away from Petco Park there in Murrieta, but how much of a Padre follower were you growing up, or did you focus on other teams? Did you get down to Petco Park and watch a lot of baseball as a kid?
Okay, so I was, my very first baseball game actually was at Qualcomm Field, being able to see like Khalil Green, Giles, all those guys. So that was my very first baseball game, but way back in the day. I was showing my age now before Petco Park, but it was at Qualcomm. But I was actually a Yankee fan growing up. I went to a Cooperstown tournament when I was 10 or 11 years old, and that was one of the very first Major League Baseball fields where I was able to go on the field, step on the field, and get a tour of the clubhouse. And I always tell this story. The very first thing I saw after the tour, there's a game that day, and I came in. We're sitting up in the nosebleeds, and I walked into the tunnel, and I saw Jeter do his jump throw, and I was like, "Man, this is incredible, man!" So that's how I kind of became a fan of them. I don't know if I've told this one, but like growing up, a lot of my friends, we all lived in the same neighborhood. We played wiffle ball, and we would just emulate players. And you know, my buddy was a big Red Sox fan, so like he was doing all the like the Yankee or the Red Sox lineup, and I was doing the Yankee lineup. So that's kind of just how that kind of evolved. But I was a Yankee fan growing up, but definitely hometown kid was the Padres for sure.
You know, Tyler, it's interesting. I played wiffle ball too as a kid, but it didn't lead me to the big leagues. So I guess it doesn't work for everybody. I do want to just real quick, I asked a lot of the players this, but when did you know as a young player that, you know what, I have the God-given talent to perhaps make a career out of this? I mean, so many of us are good players as young people, but we're never going to get that opportunity to play in the big leagues. When did it dawn on you, hey, you know what, if things go my way, I might someday be playing at Qualcomm Stadium or Petco Park?
It's a really good question. Tony, you'll appreciate this. I think honestly is when I met your dad, man, and he wanted me to come play for him. Is just, I was a sophomore in high school, and I was like, damn, this early, huh? Like I guess you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, yeah. Like if Tony wants me to come here, like that's got to mean something, right? And I was pretty shy as a kid, and like I think I had confidence, but I didn't really exert it, just because I was kind of smaller growing up, and so like being able to have a Hall of Famer like believe in me at an early age like that, 15, 16 years old, kind of gave me that little extra boost of confidence. And then really my junior senior year was like, okay, like I can kind of see the separating. Yeah, exactly. Like I would go to scout ball events and face like all these elite arms. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm better than these guys, or just like guys that were ranked higher than me or whatever. Maybe I was like, man, I feel like this guy's ranked this. I was like, come on now. Like, you know, like no disrespect, but I was like, I feel like I can out-compete these guys and I'll play against these guys. So that's kind of when I started figuring out. But I would say like I said, man, when I went to San Diego State, that was kind of one of those things where I was like, all right, well, here we go. Now I'm going to kind of dedicate my life towards this and see what we got.
Well, what we've got is a great player for the Padres here so far in 2024. Tyler Wade, great having you on the program. Great getting a chance to know you a little bit. And continued best of luck this season, in keeping the bottom of that lineup turning over and producing. We look forward to catching up with you again.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, fun having Tyler Wade on for sure. Hope you enjoyed getting to meet him as we did. Coming up, chance to play some trivia. Chris versus the fans. I'm Chris. You would be one of the fans. But you have to dial in to be one. 833-288-0973. Call, play. Could be on your way to Las Vegas as a result. More Gwen and Chris ahead. Friar Friday interview. Today we focus on local kid done well, Tyler Wade, Murrieta, California, now third baseman, San Diego Padres. Tyler, how you doing today? How are things?
I'm doing great. Good to be back in San Diego.
Yeah, kind of a tough loss to bring home with you guys. Are you able to feel like the day after you've been able to get it out of the system and hopefully focus on the fills?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think we have a reflective period after that game in the clubhouse. We learned from it, and then, you know, we got to move on to the Phillies, which is another good ball club. But a lot of positives from that series. We played really clean baseball, and the boys know that, and we're fired up to get ready today.
Tyler, you've been part of, I think, a very, very productive bottom part of the lineup. I would argue one of the best in baseball to this point. I mean, at this point, are you guys taking pride in at the bottom of that lineup of kind of, in some ways, being the booster pack for this offense at times?
Yeah, man. I think everywhere in the lineup we take pride in just not giving away at bats. But I think also me, Campy, and Merrill, we fed off each other, man. And I think we both, or all three of us, have a lot of energy. And we have good communication between pitches, letting know what we need to see from guys. And it shows, man. And I think we play unselfish baseball 1 through 9. And we play the game the right way. And we just try to get on base for the big boys to do their thing.
Tyler, I know you don't. I know you don't have a lot of time to think about this, but have you taken a moment to reflect at all on how things have worked out for you so far this year? I mean, you look at your career, started as a 22-year-old with the Yankees, and you know, ended up going to the Angels in Oakland, but this seems like it's working into your best opportunity to play on a consistent basis. And I imagine that's what every pro ball player wants, is an opportunity to be a part of something all the time.
Yeah, man. I think first and foremost, right, God's got his plan. And I think I learned a lot in New York, because not even playing every day. Just taking it all in from the veterans I've been around, the great Hall of Fame baseball players I was around, just to learn from them and see how to go about your business, how to treat people, how to get a good routine in, and just play winning baseball. And I've kind of taken that with me in different places that I've gone. But to answer your question, yes, I do think this does feel like home to me. I think from day one, Schilty and the staff and the organization and the clubhouse, they brought me in. Like, I've been here for multiple years. So that's been a big contributor to the early success so far. But, yeah, everyone wants to play every day, especially in this league. I think the more you play, the more you get comfortable with the pitching. And even when you're playing every day, pitching's hard. So it's tougher when you're not playing every day. But this has definitely been the best opportunity so far. And I'm just trying to do everything I can to help us win ball games.
Tyler Wade with us here on Gwen and Chris. And Ty, talk a little bit about having to really embrace this type of role. Because, as you said, I think all of us come in with a certain idea of how we want our career to go, and you have to be able to pivot, and it seems like you've been able to do it. Just talk about that process and getting to this point where you are right now in your career.
Yeah, no doubt. You kind of just said, I think everybody in this game, right, when you're from a young age, you want to be the Fernando Tatises, the Aaron Judges, the Manny Machados in this game. But in reality, there's very small percentage are going to be those people, right? And so, you know, when I got to New York, Darty, Judgy, all those guys kind of brought me under the wing. And I think I have the ability to play every day, but also I think I have the unique ability to be the special utility player that can give guys days off. And so they kind of just like, hey, like, embrace that role, man, be a superstar in that role. And I think that just goes unnoticed a lot. And I think there's a lot of guys throughout the league that have that same mentality. But just being able to, I think it's, I don't want to call it an ego thing, but I think it's just, you got to know your role, man. I think the more you can embrace, like, hey, all 26 guys matter, and whatever you do that day, it's going to affect the team. So just, you can impact the game in many different ways, even if you're not playing, man. So I just try to embrace that. And whether I'm pinch hitting in the seventh, going to play defense, or going to get a big bag in the eighth or ninth inning, I think all those little things you got to take pride in, man, because at the end of the day, like, those are going to track up as wins and get you into the playoffs or miss the playoffs. So just taking pride in the little things, man, is something that I've learned.
Tyler Wade is with us, Padres third baseman right now, but I have a feeling probably a little bit more of second base and left field, and as you said, yep. DHing and wherever it needs to go. You're right now at third base, but there's a guy on the team who's pretty good third baseman.
Yeah.
Have you learned anything working with Manny Machado on a daily basis? You talked about getting to play with great players in New York. It's got to be kind of fun taking ground balls with Manny.
Oh, Manny's unbelievable, man. He gives me points here and there, man. But I kind of just like watching him too. I think he's a big like lead by example guy, and I think just being able to watch how he goes about his business, and I'll ask him questions about how he reads certain hops or certain situations like that. And he's helped me out a lot just getting comfortable over there. But yeah, it's been a blessing to be able to work with Manny, and there's a reason why he's got a few platinum gloves under his belt. So it's been great, and I think he's back in there tonight. But yeah. Now I'm ready to kind of do my thing and bounce all over and play all nine positions. They're not all nine. I'm not going to catch, but, you know, anywhere else.
I got to ask you, because you mentioned Jackson Mira earlier in our conversation here. And one of the things you and I talked about kind of off to the side is how impressed you were with his kind of curiousness, right? He's consistently asking questions. And just talk a little bit about how that can be helpful for any player, but especially a young player.
Yeah, man, Jackson's well mature above his age, man. He's got you would think he's been in the league for a few years. He's very, very confident. Knows what type of player he is. Knows what he needs to get ready. But just like the questions he'll ask, I don't want to say they're very like boring questions, but like they're very like very insightful questions. Like, hey, what do you got on this guy's fastball? Hey, like in this count, what's he going to do? Or like, he, even if a guy's throwing more breaking balls, he's like, hey, he's throwing this a little bit more today. But yeah, man, he's a gamer. He's a student of the game. I've been really impressed with him. He's a joy to be around, man. The energy that he brings every single day, and he's on his way to be a superstar, man. But yeah, Jackson, dude, I think from day one in spring training, I noticed that obviously being new, I kind of just wanted to sit back and observe, but he's one of the dudes where I was impressed by just the way he handled his business, man, and went about it. And just like I said, like asking questions and just listening too, and just being a sponge and learning from all these great players that we got.
Well, Tyler Wood, you've been very impressive, and I think the fans have really gotten to appreciate your contributions to this team so far this season. I want to ask, growing up in Murrieta, you're a piece away from Petco Park there in Murrieta, but how much of a Padre follower were you growing up, or did you focus on other teams? Did you get down to Petco Park and watch a lot of baseball as a kid?
Okay, so my very first baseball game actually was at Qualcomm Field, being able to see like Khalil Green, Giles, all those guys. So that was my very first baseball game, but way back in the day. I was showing my age now before Petco Park, but that was at Qualcomm. But I was actually a Yankee fan growing up. I went to a Cooperstown tournament when I was 10 or 11 years old, and that was one of the very first Major League Baseball fields where I was able to go on the field, step on the field, and get a tour of the clubhouse. And and then I always tell this story. The very first thing I saw after the tour, there's a game that day, and I came in. We're sitting up in the nosebleeds, and I walked into the tunnel, and I saw Jeter do his jump throw, and I was like, "Man, this is incredible, man!" So that's how I kind of became a fan of them. And so I don't know if I've told this one, but like growing up, a lot of my friends, we all lived in the same neighborhood. We played wiffle ball, and we would just emulate players. And you know, my buddy was a big Red Sox fan, so like he was doing all the like the Yankee or the Red Sox lineup, and I was doing the Yankee lineup. So that's kind of just how that kind of evolved. But yeah, I was a Yankee fan growing up, but definitely hometown kid was the Padres for sure.
You know, Tyler, it's interesting. I played wiffle ball too as a kid, but it didn't lead me to the big leagues. So I guess it doesn't work for everybody. I do want to just real quick, I asked a lot of the players this, but when did you know as a young player that, you know what, I have the God-given talent to perhaps make a career out of this? I mean, so many of us are good players as young people, but we're never going to get that opportunity to play in the big leagues. When did it dawn on you, hey, you know what, if things go my way, I might someday be playing at Qualcomm Stadium or Petco Park?
It's a really good question. Tony, you'll appreciate this. I think, honestly, is when I met your dad, man, and he wanted me to come play for him. It's just, I was a sophomore in high school, and I was like, damn, this early, huh? Like, I guess I kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, yeah. Like, if Tony wants me to come here, like, that's got to mean something, right? And I was pretty shy as a kid, and, like, I think I had confidence, but I didn't really exert it, just because I was kind of smaller growing up. And so, like, being able to have a Hall of Famer, like, believe in me at an early age like that, 15, 16 years old, kind of gave me that little extra boost of confidence. And then really my junior, senior year was like, okay, like, I can kind of see the separating. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I would go to scout ball events and face, like, all these elite arms. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm better than these guys, or just like guys that were ranked higher than me or whatever. Maybe I was like, man, I feel like this guy's ranked this. I was like, come on now. Like, you know, like, no disrespect, but I was like, I feel like I can out-compete these guys and not play against these guys. So that's kind of when I started figuring out. But I would say, like, on, like I said, man, when I went to San Diego State, that was kind of one of those things where I was like, all right, well, here we go. Now I'm going to kind of dedicate my life towards this and see what we got.
Well, what we've got is a great player for the Padres here so far in 2024. Tyler Wade, great having you on the program. Great getting a chance to know you a little bit. And continued best of luck this season, you know, in keeping the bottom of that lineup turning over and producing. We look forward to catching up with you again.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, fun having Tyler Wade on for sure. Hope you enjoyed getting to meet him as we did. Coming up, chance to play some trivia. Chris versus the fans. I'm Chris. You would be one of the fans. But you have to dial in to be one. 833-288-0973. Call, play. Could be on your way to Las Vegas as a result. More Gwen and Chris ahead.